Praise the Lord, everyone. Well, we are here again on Wednesday night, and we're going to worship the Lord for a while, and then we're going to have a Bible study. Before we get started, I want to open with a prayer. Father in heaven, we thank thee for this opportunity to gather in thy name. We thank thee for this opportunity to worship thee. We ask, O God, that thy spirit would be here upon each and every one of us, that thy spirit would flow freely, that thou wouldst be here, that we would feel thy presence. We ask, O God, that thou wouldst truly inspire us to worship thee in spirit and in truth, and we ask that thou wouldst inhabit the praises of thy people. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, in the power of thy saving blood. Amen. All right, well, if you can find your chorus book, why don't we start with number 90, The Name of the Lord.
The name of the Lord is a mighty strong tower. The name of the Lord is a refuge for my soul. The name of the Lord is a bulwark I can lean on. The righteous run into the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord is a mighty strong tower. The name of the Lord is a refuge for my soul. The name of the Lord is a bulwark I can lean on. The righteous run into the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord is a mighty strong tower. The name of the Lord is a refuge for my soul. The name of the Lord is a bulwark I can lean on. The righteous run into the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Thankful for that refuge we find in the Lord and that strength. God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble, the scriptures tell us. Why don't we look across the page to number 94 and sing, Wherever I Am.
Wherever I am, I'll praise Him. Wherever I can, I'll praise Him. His love surrounds me like a sea. I'll praise the name of Jesus. Lift up the name of Jesus, for the name of Jesus lifted me. Wherever I am, I'll praise Him. Wherever I can, I'll praise Him. His love surrounds me like a sea. I'll praise the name of Jesus. Lift up the name of Jesus, for the name of Jesus lifted me. Wherever I am, I'll praise Him. Wherever I can, I'll praise Him. For His love surrounds me like a sea. I'll praise the name of Jesus. Lift up the name of Jesus, for the name of Jesus lifted me.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It's so good to worship and praise the Lord, and we should do it wherever we can, whenever we can. What a wonderful thing. And there is no other name like the name of Jesus. Why don't we go to number 70, If You Believe, You Shall Receive.
Oh. If you believe, you shall receive. There's not a trouble or care the good Lord can relieve. Oh, He is just the same today. All you gotta do is trust and pray, believe. You must believe. If you believe, you shall receive. There's not a trouble or care the good Lord can relieve. Oh, He is just the same today. All you gotta do is trust and pray and believe. You must believe. If you believe, you shall receive. There's not a trouble or care the good Lord can relieve. Oh, He is just the same today. All we gotta do is trust and pray and believe. You must believe.
Well, I am so thankful that we can rely on the Lord, that we can cast our burdens upon Him, for He careth for us. And it's a wonderful thing to know that He doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Well, there's a song that just popped into my head. I'm not sure what number it is, so I'm going to look it up in the index. See if I can find it. Well, I don't actually see it here, so it might not be in the book. Well, you know what? That's all right, because looking in the index, I saw another good one. Why don't we sing number 5, Something Beautiful? Something beautiful, something good. All of my confusion, Jesus understood. All I had to offer Him was brokenness and strife, but He made something very beautiful of my life. Something beautiful, something good. All of my confusion, Jesus understood. All I had to offer Him was brokenness and strife, but He made something very beautiful of my life. Something beautiful, something good. All of go to number 128, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face.
strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Praise the Lord.
And there's just nothing like getting in the presence of the Lord. Everything else just fades away into the background. What a wonderful thing that is. You know, I get tired of this world sometimes, so it's a wonderful thing to be able to just get into the presence of the Lord. Glory to God. Why don't we sing 131? I know we sing that one quite often, but I like it quite a lot, so why don't we sing it now? What a day that will be. What a day that will be, when my Jesus I shall see, when I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace, when He takes me by the hand and leads me to the promised land. Jesus I shall see, when I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace, when He takes me by the hand and leads me to the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a for that wonderful day.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you. Glory to God. Well, why don't we go ahead? 76, reach out and touch the Lord.
Reach out and touch the Lord as He passes by. You will find He's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He is passing by this moment, your needs to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as He passes by. Reach out and touch the Lord as He passes by. You will find He's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He is passing by this moment, your needs to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as He passes by. Reach out and touch the Lord as He passes by. You will find He's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He is passing by this moment, your needs
Go to number 122. Jesus is the sweetest name I know. I'll do now is take up the collection and we'll sing maybe one or two more. Father in heaven, we thank thee for these tithes and offerings. We ask, O God, for thy wisdom on how these funds should be used for thy purpose, for thy glory, for thy kingdom. We ask, O God, that thou hast blessed the giver, and also bless those who are unable to give. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we'll sing just a couple more. Why don't we sing number 25? That's a good one. Let go and let God have his way.
Let go and let God have his wonderful way. Let go and let God have his way. Your sorrows will vanish, your night turn to day. Let go and
to God. Well, there's one more I want to sing that I've had on my mind a lot lately. I just have to find the number real quickly. Ah, yes, number 42. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation so rich and free. Saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation so rich and free. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation so rich and free. Praise the Lord. So thankful for that salvation. And with that, we'll turn things over to Shirley for a study in the book of Jeremiah.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord. It's good to be here tonight and worship the Lord and praise Him. I'm just really thankful all those songs have a message to them, you know? Sometimes it's just simple, but it's something that we can sing from our heart because we serve a God who's redeemed us, who saved us. Oh my, who brought us out of the miry clay and has given us much hope in this world where everything is so wrong and so backwards and going exactly on toward God. So we're so thankful that we have hope here and we have truth and He has given us of His Spirit. We are very blessed. We are blessed as His children. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. Oh, our God is good. Amen. Oh, praise God. I do want to say that there's a white portfolio up here and the Lord blessed us. We have another Spanish track. Lord willing, it'll be printed tomorrow. I'm hoping, I'm believing. And it's just in time. I'm going to Minneapolis this weekend and I'll be there a few days. I don't think we're having service next Wednesday, but got some people to work with there. And we're just hoping for another Spanish track. And it just came just right in time. And I was so delighted today because Sam was able to put it into format for me today. So it's in track format. And Lord willing, Jane can print it tomorrow. And I'm excited. I just thank God. So that'll be two Spanish tracks that we have now translated. And I do have to thank my good friends in Georgia, Hernandez and Leonel, that worked so hard on it to do this for me. It's been over a period of time, but I just love that diligence and that willing spirit. I asked, I said, well, who can I, whose name can I put on the track? And they said, well, we don't want any notice at all, they said. They just wanted to do it for the Lord. But I'm sure the Lord knows it and appreciates it so much. I'm so glad. Praise the Lord. So we've got another tool for the kingdom of God's sake here. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's pray as we begin here tonight. Oh, Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, that we could come before you, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, we thank you, God, that you're on the throne, Lord, and there's none like you, Jesus. Oh, God, there's no other God. There's no other Savior. Oh, God, we can give you our lives and we can worship you, Lord, and we can praise you, Jesus. Oh, God, we know that you work out all things for good to them that are the called according to your purpose, Lord. And oh, God, I know that you have reasons for our existence, God. And oh, Lord, you put us on this earth so that we might glorify you. And oh, God, have fruit to bear, Lord, when we stand before you, Lord Jesus. And I just pray, oh God, that you talk to our hearts tonight, Lord. Oh God, that you bind every unclean spirit that would try to interrupt or get in our way. Oh God, I pray, oh God, against anything, oh Lord, that would come against thy word, Lord. Oh God, let it do its work, Lord. Let it work in our hearts, Lord Jesus. Talk to us, Jesus. Oh God, make us more like you, Lord. And God, give us that zeal of the Lord of hosts, Lord. We may not have many more moments to work for you, Jesus. God, give us that zeal, Lord. Put it within us, Lord, to do your will and to do it now while we yet can. Oh God, in Jesus' name, I thank you and praise you, God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. Our God is good. I must say, the chapter isn't tremendously long tonight, but oh my, it's like 4 or 5 different Bible studies within one chapter. I got reading it, and at first I thought, oh, maybe I could do 2 chapters tonight, and I got reading it, and I'll tell you what, oh my, I realized this is a chapter that they often used to endorse a millennium concept, and there's other things in this chapter. It's very tremendous. I just hope I can do justice to it to tell you the truth, but there is so much in it. But I got so excited. I was studying a couple nights ago, and it was late. It was past midnight, and I was so excited, and I just couldn't calm down. I was still awake at 3 o'clock in the morning. It was like, oh Lord, I just can sometimes believe God's word. It's so exciting the way it works together. God's plan and His program. And I just think, listen, I get really upset a lot of times because I see how God's word is misconstrued and misinterpreted all the time by almost everybody. And it stirs my heart because God has given us something of such great value here. He's given us truth. And it's that pearl of great price. It is so much of value, but most everywhere you look, it's not there. People have things. They have the scripture out of whack. They can't possibly know it very well. But when you start really studying it and putting it together, oh, it makes beautiful sense. There's such a wonderful harmony that flows from God's word. And I mean, I get amazed because it's like I get studying it and sometimes I ponder over a verse and then he starts showing me scripture. And I see how it just works together. I get so many surprises with God's word. I don't know. There couldn't be anything happier than that, could there? It just, but God is his word. He just is all settled in heaven and it's been established. And oh, wow, he put it together. Various men, many different men compiled it, put it together as the Lord anointed them and gave them the words and the thoughts and the utterance. And those prophets of old wrote about things that they couldn't possibly understand. But wow, the Lord knew what was going to happen. He had a divine plan, and it was going to be just as God declared it was going to be, and he was going to make it happen. He was putting it all together. So wow, way back then, they were writing of things that they couldn't possibly totally understand by any means. But wow, to us it was given. And there are things that we don't quite know for sure either yet. I mean, there's going to be things all that will unfold for us as time continues, if it does. And certainly in eternity, we'll have greater and greater understanding as it's being shown to us. But it's of such value. And I'm just so thankful that God talks to our hearts and has given us his word. We are blessed. So many look for truth. God put that empty place within people, that searching, that desire. So many people seek for things that don't satisfy, that aren't correct, that will lead them to hell. But praise the Lord, we've got this roadmap in front of us. And it is such a valuable thing. It's such a treasure. So praise the Lord. With the Lord's help here tonight, let's go to the 33rd chapter of Jeremiah. The 33rd chapter. Okay, here to begin. It says, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the second time, while he was yet shut up in the court of the prison, saying, Thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord that formed it, to establish it, the Lord is his name." Okay, now, I think I would like to subtitle this, too. And it's a kind of a long subtitle. Sam, if you want to shorten it, you can. It's "That Good Thing Which God Hath Promised." That good thing which God hath promised. And here, he's alluding to it in the second verse here. "Thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord that formed it, to establish it, the Lord is his name." God had a plan from the beginning of the earth. He knew what was going to happen. He knew the hearts of men. And here it was. He was the maker. And he was the one that formed it. And then he established it. And there's none other. It's the Lord. The Lord is his name. And here he's given Jeremiah this word. It's the second time that he's come to Jeremiah, obviously, while he was yet shut up in the court of the prison. And this is what he said. And look at verse 3. And what a jewel this is. It says in verse 3, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." Oh, praise the Lord. And I love it when the Lord begins to reveal things to our hearts and soul. And here's one of his promises, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee." Who else is like unto God that would care so much, who would regard us? We're just dust of the earth, and what do we have to be proud of? I know I have nothing. But here we have this precious promise that we can call unto God. We can call unto him, and he will answer. He will answer. It's a promise. And then beyond that, it says, "And show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." Oh, wow, the secret things that belong to God. And he said that he would reveal them to his prophets. Oh, what a precious thing it is. God has things that we don't yet know of. But, you know, you get closer to the Lord and things begin to be revealed. And he begins to show things and makes it known. And what a wonderful thing it is. But, oh, here it was. And how reassuring this must have been to Jeremiah. "Call unto me, and I will answer thee." You know, Jeremiah didn't have it easy, as we've stated again and again. But, oh boy, he stayed true to God. And he obeyed God, and he listened. And he was very proper in sending the messages that needed to be sent to those that were so disobedient and so lost and so headed for trouble. "But yet hear, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." And then it goes on here in verse 4. "For thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the houses of this city, and concerning the houses of the kings of Judah, which are thrown down by the mounts and by the sword." And so obviously, as he's writing this, already, you know, there was this damage going on. The Chaldeans, or the Babylonians, whichever you want to call them, had already come in, and there were things going on. There's houses that were already being thrown down. We knew the mounts were already surrounding the city, as we learned in the 32nd chapter of Jeremiah. And so things were happening, and it also talks about the sword. It says, they come to fight with the Chaldeans, but it is to fill them with the dead bodies of men whom I have slain in mine anger and in my fury, and for all whose wickedness I have hid my face from this city. Oh, I'll tell you what, God does not like evil. He does not like sin. And that wickedness at this point had come to the full. That cup of God's wrath was so full and boiling over that he was pouring it out. He was pouring out his judgment. And we know that it's God that had allowed this judgment to be poured out. I know in Habakkuk, the first chapter, verse 13, it talks about how God is of pure eyes and to behold evil. God doesn't like it at all. It distresses us very often. We see the things that are going on. I know today, among everything else, Sam brought a newsletter, and I'm proofreading that too. And the things that are happening are enough to make us all feel ill, frankly. But there's a God in heaven who's looking for a people that have clean hearts and a right spirit and who love purity and love to walk in his ways. And here it says in Habakkuk, the first chapter, verse 13, thou art of pure eyes and to behold evil and canst not look on iniquity. Oh, our God despises it and loathes it and hates it. Wherefore lookest thou upon them that deal treacherously and holdest thy tongue when the wicked devoureth a man that is more righteous than he? Oh my, all these things go on. And so often it's hushed up, it's kept quiet. People lie and just try to hide things. But God sees it all, doesn't he? Oh, he despises it. And to that kind of person, He's not going to come to their aid. He's not going to help them unless something happens within them and there's some real, true desire, some need and desire to repent that comes to the surface. And there's a turning around and a loathing of sin because God is of pure eyes than to behold evil. And wow, it's not going to stand in the judgment. That kind of person, that kind of doings is not going to stand in the judgment. But he goes on in verse 6, behold, I will bring it health and cure, and I will cure them and will reveal unto them the abundance of peace and truth. Oh, praise the Lord. We know from John 10 and the 10th verse that the thief cometh but to steal and to kill and to destroy. But Jesus said, I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Oh, praise the Lord. That's why he came. He came to restore that which the devil had taken. Oh, my. He came to bring us hope. He came to bring us true life, everlasting life. And not only just life, but abundant life, a full life, full of the promises of God and full of faith, full of hope. And we can live in that. We can walk in that. We can have that peace that passes all understanding when our life is hid in Christ. Oh, praise the Lord. So here it continues here. It says, oh my, another one of his promises. Behold, I will bring it health and cure. God was going to turn things around. Oh my, yes, the Chaldeans were coming in to seek and to destroy and to turn everything around and to create havoc and to carry them away. But Jesus was allowing there for a turnaround. God Almighty was allowing for a turnaround. The Almighty One who would come one day, robed in flesh as the Lord Jesus. But he says, I will bring it health and cure. He was going to reverse what the devil had allowed. Truly, in this case, God had allowed it because of the sin. But honestly, the adversary is a roaring lion, as the devil is, seeking whom he may devour. But it does say, I will cure them and will reveal unto them the abundance of peace and truth. And I like that word. It says reveal right there. He was going to make it known. He's going to make it known. And many things he was going to make known unto them, unto the abundance of peace and truth. Oh, wow. Those are promises for us. Those things that he would have us to know. that peace that he would like us to have, that peace that passes all understanding, the peace that only the Lord Jesus gives, and truth that sets us free. Praise the Lord. And that truth only comes from God Almighty. And it goes on in verse 7. And I will cause the captivity of Judah and the captivity of Israel to return. In other words, he was going to reverse it. He was going to change it. And they were going to be able to come back. And it says, I will build them as at the first. He was going to let them come, return, get back to square one, start over. And what a wonderful thing it was. What a happy day it was when they finally did get to come back, those that were carried away. But the Lord had promised it. And then it goes on. It goes on, and this is something, oh my, beyond just a natural captivity or a physical captivity, because there's that captivity of the devil and that, the, oh boy, how he, that bondage that he imposes upon the human race, that bondage of sin. And here it says in verse 8, and I will cleanse them from all their iniquity, whereby they have sinned against me. And I will pardon all their iniquities whereby they have sinned and whereby they have transgressed upon against me. Oh, what a wonderful deed was done at Calvary when the Lord Jesus bore our sins, when he took them upon himself. I know how Isaiah 59:20, there's a promise there. It says, and the Redeemer will come to Zion and to them that turn from transgression in Jacob. What a wonderful promise that was, that Redeemer was going to come. And he did, didn't he? Came as the Lord Jesus Christ, and he came to those that would turn from their sins, to turn from their transgressions, and be forgiven. What a wonderful work the Lord did. We know that Isaiah 53 talks about that wonderful work of the Lord, and often we've gone there, but just the last 3 verses of that chapter, because the whole chapter does talk about him, but with verse 10 it says, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. I just love that. When he shalt make his soul an offering for sin. That's exactly what the Lord Jesus did. He made his soul an offering for sin. He was paying for our sin there on the cross. But there was something that was there before the Lord that he desired greatly. It says he shall see his seed. Oh, that word seed is very important. In other words, he shall see his children. He shall see his offspring. He was seeing those that would be born again of the water and of the Spirit. And it says he shall prolong his days. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hands. What a beautiful thing. We are actually prolonging the days of the Lord. His life was cut off from the midst of the year, so to speak, if you go to Daniel. But his children prolong his days because we can carry out his will. We can do his work. We can finish what he began. And what a wonderful thing that is. And it says, the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. It's a great delight to the Lord to see us enduring. It's to see us living for him and having that zeal in our hearts and lives. It says in verse 11 here in Isaiah 53, he shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Oh, that was the travail of his soul there in the Garden of Gethsemane when he poured it out. And oh, he said, Lord, if it, Heavenly Father, may it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not thy will, but thine be done. And it was heavy. He sweat great drops of blood at that time. He knew what he was going to have to endure there and all that they would put upon him. And worst of all, he was going to take sin upon him. That perfect Lamb of God without sin or blemish was going to take sin upon himself and bear it for us. Oh, praise the Lord, making his soul an offering for sin. But that was the travail of his soul. It was for his people. It was for you and I, that we might have life, that we might have eternal life, that we might be his sons and daughters. And it says, shall be satisfied. That satisfied him. He could do it because he knew that he would have a people, that there would be those that would love him and serve him and be faithful and endure until the end. There would be a people that would do his will, and that was his delight. It says, by his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Oh my, what we could never have done for ourselves. Oh my, there's no way that we could ever have atoned for our own sin. Nothing. We would do everything we could possibly think of. And people sometimes try. You know, they try in themselves to atone for their sin. But we don't have to do that. We don't have to take lashes. We don't have to be crucified upside down or do horrendous things. We don't have to crawl on our knees up 1,000 steps to try to get to a place where we can satisfy an almighty God. No, we come to him in faith, don't we? We come to him in faith, believing that he can take our sins and forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Oh, what a price he paid for us. What a price he paid for us. And it's not only to take our sins, but there's something that he wanted to give us, eternal life. Oh my, and it says in verse 12 here, therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Oh, praise the Lord. That's what he was doing on that tree. That's what he was doing when he hung there, oh, suspended between earth and heaven, and oh, crying out, taking that upon himself. He was bearing our sins. And what a wonderful gift he has given us, that of eternal life. Oh, and so that we can have hope in the midst of all the anguish of this world and the despair of this world and all the heartaches in this world, we can have hope. We can know our Lord and know that he is faithful, he that promised, and that he can take care of our sin. Oh, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. And Daniel the prophet also prophesied of these things, and this is a study in itself. But if you go to Daniel the 9th chapter, here he also talks about what Jesus was going to do. Verse 24 in Daniel 9, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins, and to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Oh my, it was all in the plan of God. Oh my, and I could go on, but there's a lot, oh boy, in this 9th chapter of Daniel. And praise the Lord, I believe one day we're going to look into that closely. Verse 27 says, and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate even unto the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. Oh yes, there's a mouthful there, but I believe 1 week here in this chapter refers to 7 years. If I was figuring it out today, and that comes out really well, if my thinking is proper, and it's just true. He confirmed the covenant. Jesus came forth to bring forth a new covenant. And in the midst of that week, 3.5 years would be the middle of 7 years, he caused the sacrifice and the oblation to cut off, to cease, to stop. He put an end to it. That veil was torn into 3 different parts. And that was the Lord saying, that's enough of this. I am now that sacrifice for sin. He was causing that oblation to cease at that moment, that those natural sacrifices and all to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even unto the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. And, well, like I said, that's a Bible study in itself. But He did tell the Jews their house was left unto them desolate. And verily they shall not see me until that time come when they shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Their house became desolate. And that consummation, it was poured out on Jerusalem. 70 AD, that city was totally destroyed. That temple was taken apart, piece by piece, never to be put back again. And that was it. That was the spreading of abomination. Abomination began with the rejection of Jesus Christ. And then it spread forth upon the desolate. The Lord had it all to happen. Oh, praise the Lord for his mercy, however. Oh, and what he has done, that complete work that he has done for his people. But continuing here in Jeremiah 33, it says in verse 9, and it shall be to me a name of joy. Well, he's talking about his church here, folks. He's talking about us who serve the Lord, a praise and honor before all the nations of the earth, which shall hear all the good that I do unto them. And they shall fear and tremble for all the goodness and for all the prosperity that I procure unto it. Oh, what a happy day when the Lord came into our lives. And he's talking about a recovery and a restoration, and that which had been looked at as an abomination, as disgusting, as horrendous, was suddenly going to be reversed and turned around. There was going to be a recovery from that bad report. All that God allowed to happen was going to be reversed. He had put 70 years upon his people, and then they would return, and God would begin that restoration process, which would continue until the Lord Jesus came to restore us from sin, and praise the Lord for that. But here it is, which shall hear all the good that I do unto them, and they shall fear and tremble. The heathen would see the good works of God, and there would be a response in them for all the goodness and for all the prosperity that I procure unto it. Oh, the Lord allowing his mercy to come back and prosperity to be restored unto the people, his goodness to be seen and to be revealed to the others, that wonderful good report. And then it says in verse 10, thus saith the Lord, again there shall be heard in this place, which ye say shall be desolate without man and without beast, even in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem that are desolate, without man and without inhabitant, without beast. I mean, this is not a pretty time that we're talking about. When the Babylonians, the Chaldeans came in and took over, it was a time of desolation. Things were then empty, barren, rejected, hard to see, without man, without inhabitant, without beast. But there was going to be a restoration. God's promises are sure. And here in verse 11, it talks about a time of rejoicing again. It says in verse 11, the voice of joy, the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, the voice of the bride, the voice of them that shall say, praise the Lord of hosts, for the Lord is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And of them that shall bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord, for I will cause to return the captivity of the land as at the first, saith the Lord. The Lord was going to allow them to come back. And again, there's going to be a reversal of everything. And it's going to ultimate with the coming of the Lord, or it's going to continue with the coming of the Lord, actually, because it's still continuing unto this day. And no wonder Isaiah the prophet could say in chapter 12, when he talked about that day when the Lord Jesus would come, oh, he said, in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Oh my, see, it's this time when they could find that comfort of the Lord, and that anger is turned away. And it says in verse 2 of Isaiah 12, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Oh, what a wonderful thing. And we know that the word Jesus comes from the word Joshua, which means salvation. Salvation. And here it says in verse 3, therefore with joy Therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. Oh, we can dig deep into the wells of salvation. Oh, we can have as much as we want of the Lord Jesus. Oh, he comes into our lives to change us and to give us hope and to bring us that living water. We can drink of that living water. Oh, that woman at the well, he told her, this water, you drink of it, you shall never thirst again. It satisfies the soul. It gives us something to live for, something to die for. Oh, something, oh God, that is worth everything. And here's that promise, therefore with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. Or if you want to interpret that word salvation, as Jesus, Joshua, or Jesus. And in that day, listen, we're not going to be exactly quiet about what God's done for us, are we? We can't just hush it up and keep it still, can we? Oh my, if the Lord's done something for us, we ought to tell. We ought to let the people know. It says in that day, and it's talking about this day, this dispensation of grace. In that day shall ye say, praise the Lord. Call upon his name, declare his doings among the people, and make mention that his name is exalted. There's something within. If you've partaken of those living waters, then wow, it's going to come out. It's a well springing forth. You dig deep, it's going to come out. You know, there's something that, oh, we can't keep still over. And it says in verse 5, sing unto the Lord, sing unto the Lord. He puts that new song in our heart, that song of praise unto the Lord. It says, many shall see it and fear and trust in the Lord. In Psalms 40, I believe. And it says, sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. And then, again, I don't think we can sit there and be quiet. Oh, it says, cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion. Oh, wow, if you've been born again, if you're an inhabitant of Zion, you can cry out and shout. For great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. He's in the midst of his people. You know, where two or three are gathered together in his name, he said, there I am in the midst. Our God is with us. He's there to supply all our needs according to his riches and glory. And there's nothing that he would withhold from those that love him and fear him. We are greatly blessed as his children. Oh, praise the Lord. We can claim his promises. We can claim his promises, as it's said in the book of Jeremiah. Save me and I shall be saved. Heal me and I will be healed. For thou art my praise. Something happens when you praise the Lord. Oh, when you let it come out. When you start praising and rejoicing in the Lord. Oh, he has done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. We can declare it. Oh my, it's something that you can't keep still. You see all these people here and there, oh, enslaved by the devil, under his bondage, in great captivity. They need a Savior. And there's something, if God has saved us, there's something within us that wants to somehow help them. Somehow we have a testimony. We have a story to tell. We have something to share. And oh, there are those that need it so desperately. They're dying, they're lost, they're without God, and they need hope in this present world. They need hope in eternity. They need to be delivered. But it says, of them shall bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. Oh my, there's something about the sacrifice of praise. Oh my, it's talked of in several places in the scripture. And, you know, again, sometimes maybe it doesn't seem like we can do that much for the Lord. But we can praise him. Oh, we can praise him. That should be welling up within us anyway. Psalms 27 verse 6 says, and now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Oh, those sacrifices of joy that come out of our innermost being because the Lord has done great things for us. He has set us free. Oh, I just remember how it was before the Lord saved me. And I couldn't. I remember as a child, I remember them asking me to pray. It was children's church, and there were, you know, various ages down there, but I just can remember they asked me to pray, and I had not yet received the Lord. I had not yet been filled with the Holy Ghost, and I couldn't say a thing, and there was just no way I could say a thing. But thank God, there was one day, oh, the Lord came to me and filled me with the Holy Ghost, and everything changed. I'll tell you, they sing that little song sometimes, the children, it's bubbling in my soul. I'm singing, I'm shouting, since Jesus made me whole. Some folks don't understand it, but I can't keep it quiet. It's bubbling, 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 bubbling day and night. Yes, the Lord puts that within us and changes us, and suddenly, yes, we can praise the Lord. We can sing. We can shout. We can glorify our God, and we can offer Him sacrifices of praise. In Hebrews 13, verse 15, it says, by Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That thankful spirit should be continually within us. Not murmuring or complaining, but that giving of thanks, that sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to His name. And you know, I think things change in one's life when the sacrifice of praise is apparent in one's life, when you have that spirit of thanksgiving. I know Jesus said as He was coming into Jerusalem there that last time before they crucified Him, and they were praising Him. They were waving those palm branches and saying, Hosanna, blessed is He that cometh in the name of the Lord. And some said, oh, have your disciples be quiet. Make them quiet. They're way too loud. But Jesus said, if these should hold their peace, even the very stones would cry out. Oh, the Lord deserves our praise. He deserves our worship. Oh, and it's time to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship Him. Oh, it's a need, and it's something that the Lord also expects. 1 Peter, the second chapter, verse 5, ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Oh, praise the Lord. He has done a work in us. Praise the Lord for that. And we are lively stones, built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood, oh boy, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Oh, wow. Well, there's many verses that talk about worshiping and praising the Lord, giving Him those sacrifices of praises. But the Lord is looking for that. Continuing here in Jeremiah 33, verse 12, thus saith the Lord of hosts, again in this place, which is desolate, without man and without beast, in all the cities thereof shall be an habitation of shepherds causing their flocks to lie down, in the cities of the mountains, in the cities of the vale, in the cities of the south, in the land of Benjamin, in the places about Jerusalem, in the cities of Judah. Shall the flocks pass again under the hands of him that telleth them, saith the Lord. Okay, so he's talking about, at this point, everything looked so hopeless. It was so desolate, so empty, so barren, without inhabitants, without beasts, without men, without people. But there was this time, all the shepherds were going to come back. And they were going to tend their sheep. They were going to tell them, in other words, count them. And there it was. It was going to be in the mountains, in the valleys, in the cities of the south, in the cities of Benjamin, the cities of Judah, and about Jerusalem. All those places, again, were going to be flocks. And of course, we know when Jesus came upon the scene, oh, wow, when He was born into this world, there were shepherds abiding in the field, keeping their sheep by night. They were watching their flock by night. And we know it was to the shepherds that the angel of the Lord appeared. It came upon them. The glory of the Lord shone right about them. And of course, they were so afraid. But that angel declared unto them the good tidings. Oh, they were the first to hear. They were the first to know those good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. The shepherds were there. They came back, and there they were, and very much in place. And they were the ones to whom the story was first told there in Luke, the second chapter. But continuing here in Jeremiah, verse 14, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will perform that good thing which I have promised unto the house of Israel and to the house of Judah. Okay, and this is where I took my subtitle here, this 14th verse. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will perform that good thing which I have promised unto the house of Israel and to the house of Judah. Well, let's just look at some of the things that had been promised. Genesis 3:15, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. This was the first prophetic utterance that I know of, where it was declaring that that which had been done because of sin was going to be restored. The Lord was going to tear down that enmity, that wall between the woman and her God. That thing that separated her from God's presence, where they had walked with God prior to this time, but sin came into the world. And it may be surprising to some people, but sin doesn't enter into heaven. Sin separates us from God. And here it is, the first promise that God would put enmity between, talking to the serpent there, thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Huh. Oh, wow, maybe the heel was bruised at Calvary. But Jesus was giving the devil a deadly blow to the head at Calvary. Oh my, things would never be the same after Calvary. He was blowing a very distinct blow to the head, to the devil at Calvary. And I'm so thankful for that. Of course, going to the very end part of Genesis chapter 49, one of those other promises, another good thing that God had promised. He said, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, referring to Jesus, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. That's another one of God's precious promises that he had given to his people, one of those good things that he had declared. Deuteronomy 18, all from the books of Moses here. The 15th verse, Deuteronomy 18. The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me. Unto him he shall hearken, according to all that thou desirest of the Lord thy God in Horeb, in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire any more, that I die not. They were afraid of the voice of God when he tried to speak to them at Sinai. And it says in verse 17, and the Lord said unto me, they have well spoken that which they have spoken. They couldn't bear it. It was too much for them. But God had another plan. And verse 18 here in Deuteronomy 18, I will raise him up a prophet from among their brethren like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words which he speak in my name, I will require it of him. Oh my, that prophet that would come into the world. He's speaking of the Lord Jesus here. God Almighty was going to put on flesh. They couldn't bear it when he tried to speak to them at Mount Sinai. But he had mercy on them. He was going to raise up a prophet like unto them, their brethren. In other words, God Almighty was going to put on flesh and come to this world with the words of God in his mouth, the words of eternal life in his mouth. And he was going to speak them. And you know what? It's required of us. Those words that the Lord has spoken, They are required of us. We will be judged by the words that the Lord hath spoken. And of course, there's so many other places I could go, but some of those other good things that God had promised. Isaiah 7, verse 14. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Emmanuel meaning God with us. Another prophetic utterance. And of course, Isaiah 9, 6 and 7. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And then it goes on to say, of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment, with justice, from henceforth even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform it. Oh, praise the Lord. But that's just a little taste of the good things that God hath promised unto the house of Israel, unto the house of Judah, and that encompasses more than just that which meets those eyes or the natural way of thinking. It says in verse 15, in those days, and I like it when it says in that day, in those days, it's referring to this period of time, this period of grace that we are living in right now, that period of time when the Lord Jesus would come to save us from our sins. In those days and at that time will I cause the branch of righteousness to grow up unto David, and he shall execute judgment and righteousness in the land. Oh, it was going to happen in those days. That branch of righteousness, a branch meaning like a shoot or a sprout or an extension of what God had began. It was going to grow up unto David, and it was going to come from the seed of David, as it had been promised to David. The sure mercies of God had been promised to David, that there would be a seed that would come from David. And the Lord Jesus was that seed. There's some really important verses here. Lord's help, I'll see how far I can get here tonight. But going to Isaiah 11 for one place. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. This is the first verse of Isaiah 11. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and shall make him a quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And that day is coming. That day is coming when, oh my, the Lord has declared it, and he's going to smite the earth with the rod of his mouth. All that final judgment. But also going to Zechariah here. We can go to Zechariah, first of all, the third chapter. It says in verse 8, Zechariah 3, verse 8, hear now, O Joshua, the high priest, thou and thy fellows that sit before thee, for they are men wondered at. For behold, I will bring forth my servant the branch. For behold, the stone that I have laid before Joshua, upon one stone shall be seven eyes. Behold, I will engrave the graving thereof, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will remove the iniquity of that land in one day. He's talking about his work at Calvary. And God is helping Joshua to know that he's going to bring forth his servant, the branch. In other words, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's going to lay one stone upon another, as he did. And it talks about Upon one stone shall be seven eyes. I believe that is referring to the all-seeing ability of God to see everything at one time. And then he declares, I will remove the iniquity of that land in one day. Again, what Jesus did at Calvary. In that day, saith the Lord of hosts, shall you call every man his neighbor under the vine and under the fig tree. In other words, it's a time of peace and restoration, a time of rest for the children of God. And there's much more I could do to explain that, but we'll let it be for now. And then, if we can turn also to Zechariah, the sixth chapter, looking at verse 12. We're going to be talking about that temple. A lot of people have this misconception that this could be talking about a natural temple, a physical building. But that was cast down in 70 AD. And I don't know what they're going to try to do. I know I've heard that, they're in the waiting. You know, the Jewish people there in Israel, they want to... again, restore the temple. I've heard that they've got a prefab pieces all ready to go. And their plans, oh yes, they are really trying. But what is it referring to? Who is the temple of the Lord? What is the temple of the Lord? Let's look at Zechariah, the sixth chapter, verse 12. And speak unto him, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, behold, the man whose name is the branch. Again, the Lord Jesus. And he shall grow up out of his place, and he shall build the temple of the Lord. Well, did Jesus build a natural temple when he came to earth? He looked at that temple. Oh boy, and he told them that it was going to be taken down piece by piece, that it was going to be destroyed, that it was going to be demolished. That's what he told them. He talked about the peace that would have been for them if they only would have received him as Lord and Savior, as the one that should come. But, you know, in Luke, the 19th chapter, when Jesus was come near, he beheld the city looking over at Jerusalem, and he wept over it, saying, if thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. For the day shall come upon thee, that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee, and compass thee round, and keep thee on every side, and shall lay thee even with the ground, and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. Oh, the Almighty One came to earth. He put on that robe of flesh to visit the children of Israel, to bring them salvation. But for the most part, they did not understand. They did not esteem him. They did not acknowledge him. They did not turn to him. And therefore, they were going to be destroyed. That temple was going to be taken apart piece by piece. But here in Zechariah, the branch, behold the man whose name is the branch, and he shall grow up out of his place, and he shall build the temple of the Lord. Even he shall build the temple of the Lord, and he shall bear the glory, and shall sit and rule upon his throne, and he shall be a priest upon his throne, and the council of peace shall be between them both. And the crown shall be to Helam, and to Tobijah, and to Jediah, and to Han, the sons of Zephaniah, for a memorial in the temple of the Lord. And they that are far off shall come and build in the temple of the Lord. And ye shall know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto you. And this shall come to pass if you will diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God. Oh, I'm so thankful for that. Oh, it was even to them that are far off. As it said, as Peter said on the day of Pentecost, for this promise is to you and to your children, speaking of the gift of the Holy Ghost, and to them that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. That includes the Gentile people. We were included in this. The Lord even made allowance for those that were far off shall come and build in the temple of the Lord. And you shall know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto you. Oh, what a wonderful thing. That temple was going to be established. It was all going to be performed. That temple of the Lord. And who is that temple? Well, I think we know as God's children who that temple is. It's the church of the living God. It's the people of the living God. But let's just cement that. Let's look at Hebrews, the 9th chapter. And let's look at verse 11. It says in verse 11, but Christ being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building. So let's look at that again. But Christ being come and high priest, and he became and high priest for us, not while he was on earth. And it declares in the 8th chapter of Hebrews that if he were on earth, he should not be a priest. But we know what? He ascended to the heavens to make intercession for us, to do the role of a priest, so that we could have his aid and help, so that we could have salvation. But here it says in this 11th verse here in Hebrews 9, but Christ, being come and a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands. No. Not talking about a physical building at all. That is to say, not of this building. Nothing like that at all. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Oh, the Lord did that for us, that we might have eternal life. And then it goes on to tell us, for the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifies to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Oh, he made a way for us, didn't he? To purge us. Oh, to make us clean so that we can stand someday before the Lord without spot. It says, and for this cause he is a mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the First Testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Oh, yes, they that are called. We are the recipients of the blood of Jesus Christ, of the atonement, of the price that he paid for us there on the cross. We are recipients of that. And he came by to bring forth a perfect tabernacle. Not one made with hands at all. A spiritual tabernacle, a spiritual temple that would be us, the people of God, who esteem the word of God and fear the Lord and tremble at his word. Let's also go to Ephesians, the 2nd chapter. Oh my, there is so much I could say. But let's go to Ephesians 2nd chapter. Oh my. Verse 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We are the workmanship of God. Wherefore remember that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, were called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision of the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off were made nigh by the blood of Christ. Oh, he made us participants in his plan and his program. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. There was not going to be a separation between Jew and Gentile. After that, he broke down that partition, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself a twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you that which were far, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. So it was to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. And we were the ones that were afar off. They were the ones that were nigh. They were participants of the covenant of Abraham's already, but he was offering it to us. It says, through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. And here it is. This is how the church is laid out, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord. We are the temple of the Lord. And here it is. If the church is built upon the foundation, first of all, the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, and then the whole building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are built together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Oh, praise the Lord. He put it all together so that his people become the temple of the living God, and he dwells in his people. It's no longer a temple for his people, but his people become the temple of the living God. 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with the infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. We become the temple of the living God. Oh, praise the Lord. There doesn't need to be an edifice to honor and exalt God. That isn't necessary in order for us to worship him. We're living in that time period when we can worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. You know, he is nigh unto them that call upon him, that cry out with all their hearts. And we have this wonderful privilege of coming before that throne of grace to obtain grace, to obtain mercy in the time of need. Oh my, to be filled with the Holy Ghost. But thank God, his people become an habitation for the Lord. He dwells among us. He walks in us. He talks to us. We have that communication with him. That communication was lost through sin. When Adam and Eve sinned, it took upon them that fruit that they were forbidden to take, and all at once everything changed and the communication was lost. But the Lord Jesus Christ came forth to bring forth a church, to restore favor, to redeem us, to save us, to bring us to that place, oh, where he could perform the good things that he had promised. And wow, that branch of righteousness was to grow up out of David, and he shall execute judgment and righteousness in the land. And it goes on in Jeremiah 33 to say in verse 16, in those days shall Judah be saved, and Jerusalem shall dwell safely. And this is the name wherewith she shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. Oh my, we know it's not of any righteousness of our own at all. When we come to God, we know that we are all are as an unclean thing, and our own righteousnesses are as filthy rags in the sight of God. We know that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God, and there is none righteous, no, not one. And furthermore, that sin separates us from God. Yes, it may be a big surprise to some people, but if there's sin in somebody's life, they're not going to be able to enter into heaven. There's that distinct need to be saved, to be redeemed, to be set free. Without that blood of that perfect Lamb of God, without that blood of the branch, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ upon our soul, we would have no garment to put on. We would have no righteousness of our own. We would have nothing to show. We couldn't stand before God and be bold in the day of judgment. We would fall on our faces without any hope, because sin does not enter into heaven. There is no way sin can enter into heaven, but the Lord makes a way in those days. Oh, the people of the Lord have hope. The Lord came to bring us hope. And we shall be called the Lord our righteousness. He's our righteousness. Oh my, in the book of Revelation, oh wow, that church that stands before God, how are they clothed? They are clothed with fine linen. It's clean and white. And it tells us in the 19th chapter of Revelation that fine linen is the righteousness of saints. But it's not of ourself at all. It's not of ourself at all. We wouldn't have it at all. We only have it if we're born of Him, as it tells us in 1 John, the second chapter in verse 29. If you know that He is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of Him. We could not do it on our own. There is no way we could do it at all. But the Lord Jesus came that He might restore that which was lost, and He came that He might present it unto Himself, a glorious church, not having a spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish, the church of the living God that's clothed with the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, praise the Lord for what He's done. Praise the Lord for the hope that we have in Him. It's such a glorious hope that He has given His children. I don't think I have much more time left. But Psalms 32, just a few verses here. If we could go here. It says, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. Oh, what a precious thing that the Lord has done for us, laying there on the cross, giving his life for us. Oh, that perfect Lamb of God, without sin, without blemish, taking our sin upon us that we might have hope, that our transgression might be forgiven, that it might be covered, that sin might be covered, so that someday we can stand before Him clothed with that fine linen, clean and white, the righteousness that He gives to us as his children. Oh, what a precious thing. What a precious thing it is. And also in that 32nd chapter, it tells us, it says, this is how we get it. It says in verse 5, I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah. For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. Oh, praise the Lord. God is so good to his children. And here we are at a time when he can still be found. We can still cry out to him. We can still come to him, acknowledging our sin, not hiding it from him, not trying to cover it by our own self. That won't do any good. Adam and Eve tried to cover themselves. After they sinned, they tried to cover themselves with fig leaves. But it was to no avail. It took the blood of an animal to cover them. And it takes the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ to cover us. Oh, to take away our sin. But praise the Lord, we can do that. We can come to him. We can acknowledge our sin. Not hiding that iniquity. Not trying to hide it. But acknowledging it. And coming to the Lord Jesus. Letting him take that sin. And praise the Lord, we can go down in the waters of baptism for the remission of those sins. Oh my, so that they are totally discharged. So that there is no more price, no more penalty, no more covering for sin. Oh, praise the Lord for what he has done and the offering that he has made for us that we might be free from sin and know such great salvation. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's worship him. Oh, Lord Jesus, we thank you, God. We praise you, Lord. Oh, God, we offer you the sacrifices of praises, God. Oh, God, we come to you, Lord Jesus, knowing that there was no other that could pay that price for sin. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you for what you've done, Lord. We thank you, God. We praise you, Lord. Oh, God, we acknowledge you, Jesus. Oh, God, we lift up holy hands with a wrath and doubting, God. God, thanking you, Lord, for such great salvation, for this gift of eternal life. Oh, Lord, that you bought us with such a price, the price of your own blood. We thank you, God. Oh, Lord, talk to our hearts and help us, God. Oh, God, get us to that place where we need to be, Lord. And, oh, God, I pray, oh, Lord, that every heart, oh, God, everyone that ever hears this message will come unto thee and surrender their will and mind and emotions unto thee, Lord, and acknowledge their sins. Oh, Lord, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done. Praise the Lord, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I imagine Sam's going to come and lead us in a song or so. And we just thank God. Let's just yield ourselves to the Lord. I know Sunday, it was such a beautiful spirit of worship here. You know, when we give those sacrifices of praises to the Lord, there's no telling what God will do on our behalf. Just something about lifting him up and acknowledging him and praising him and letting go and let the Lord have his way in our lives. Oh, praise the Lord for his unspeakable gift. Praise God. Praise the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Well, praise the Lord. I think a wonderful song to sing, a wonderful chorus to sing in closing would be number 66, Jesus I'll Never Forget. Jesus, I'll never forget what you've done for me. Jesus, I'll never forget how you've set me free. Jesus, I'll never forget how you brought me out. Jesus, I'll never forget, no, never. Jesus, I'll never forget what you've done for me. Jesus, I'll never forget how you've set me free. Jesus, I'll never forget how you brought me out. Jesus, I'll never forget, no, never. I'll never forget what you've done for me. Jesus, I'll never forget how you've set me free. Jesus, I'll never forget how you brought me out. Jesus, I'll never forget, no.
never. Praise the Lord.